Today is July 10th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover incoming Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's overhaul of central bank communications, a mortgage origination risk metric that has now quietly surpassed its 2007 peak, and the 18-month standoff in USD/JPY that's edging toward a coordinated currency intervention with real consequences for correspondent banking. Start with the Fed, because the structural story matters more than any single data print this week. Danielle DiMartino Booth of QI Research has been telling Bloomberg Surveillance and Schwab's opening bell the same thing in different words. What Kevin Warsh is doing to Fed communications isn't streamlining, it's suppression. He's cut back the cadence of regional Fed president speeches. He's floating the idea that the dot plot doesn't survive past September of 2025, with outright elimination possible by 2027. The June FOMC minutes actually went out unedited this time. Booth draws a pointed contrast with Janet Yellen's old practice of massaging minutes before release. That's worth sitting with. Less polished isn't necessarily less controlled. It may just mean control has moved somewhere else in the process. The broader fintech pattern here is that monetary policy is becoming harder to read in real time, right as credit conditions are becoming more urgent to read in real time. Of the five new outside task forces Warsh has stood up, Booth flags the Balance Sheet and Quantitative Tightening Group, which includes former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King, as the one with the most teeth. They're working under a self-imposed year-end 2025 deadline to decide between accelerating MBS runoff or leaning on Treasury Secretary Bessent's off-the-run Treasury buyback program. Roughly three FOMC officials wanted a hike in June. About half the committee still leans toward one hike before year-end, and markets are pricing exactly one for December. Layer in Nomi Prins, read via Kitco. Fed funds around 3.75%, with Warsh's reduced guidance posture, read as deliberate power consolidation ahead of cuts tied to debt service pressure on roughly $40 trillion of federal debt. Take that as single strategist commentary, not confirmed policy. Now to the part of this briefing I think deserves the most attention from anyone underwriting mortgage or consumer credit risk. Nick Gurley of Reventure App, via Thoughtful Money, has a number that should stop you. The average back-end debt-to-income ratio on 2025 mortgage originations is 39.6%. The 2007 bubble peak was 38.7%. We are past it. And this isn't happening because underwriting got sloppy in secret. It's happening because GSE and FHA back-end DTI ceilings have been raised to 50%, up from a historical norm of 35% that held for 20 to 25 years. Home price indices look calm on the surface. Underneath them, leverage per borrower has quietly become worse than the pre-crisis era, and the FHFA, the OCC, and the CFPB haven't meaningfully retightened the standard. Looking at the regulatory landscape, that gap is the story. Nobody has closed the door that widened years ago, and now a Wall Street Journal figure, a 40% increase in total homeownership cost burden since 2019, is compounding on top of loosened underwriting rather than being cushioned by it. Booth's reporting adds a second leg to this. Consumer credit turned negative in May as banks tightened standards, a trend, she says, started in commercial real estate and is now migrating into consumer books. Edmunds data show the average auto loan payment at a record high, with roughly 1 in 5 Americans now paying over $1,000 a month on a car. And there's a market structure tell sitting right next to all of this. Barclays' private credit fund had to gate redemptions, cutting a 10% redemption request down to 5%. Booth calls that an early illiquidity signal, the kind that has historically preceded contagion into public credit markets. With five major banks reporting earnings this week, the question isn't whether provisioning broadens beyond commercial real estate. It's how fast. Third theme, currency mechanics with direct balance sheet implications. USD/JPY has sat near the 160 to 162 level, the intervention threshold, for 18 months straight. Thoughtful Money's analysis treats that persistence itself as the signal. Japan's FX reserves, roughly $1.1 to $1.3 trillion per IMF and MOF data, are the primary buffer defending the yen at that line, and the line keeps getting tested. The longer this holds, the higher the probability of something resembling a Plaza Accord-style coordinated realignment governed by G7 and IMF Article 4 consultation norms, since unilateral BOJ action risks being labeled currency manipulation under U.S. Treasury reporting. Here's the fintech pattern worth isolating from that. CLS Bank settles roughly $6.5 trillion a day across 18 currencies, including the yen. Elevated FX volatility around that threshold raises settlement risk premiums and collateral requirements under Basel III liquidity coverage frameworks for any bank running a JPY funding book. And the correspondent banking economics underneath cross-border JPY USD flows wires priced at $25 to $50 with 1 to 3 day settlement look increasingly exposed next to stablecoin or real-time rails, offering sub-$1 near-instant alternatives. Thoughtful Money frames that gap as a hedge opportunity. Banks piloting blockchain-based FX settlement at an estimated $500,000 to $1.5 million pilot budget position themselves to absorb correspondent margin compression if BOJ or MOF intervention volatility actually materializes. One more item belongs in this landscape, more from a compliance angle than a macro one. The SEC and FINRA's expanded Finfluencer enforcement sweep is catching exactly the kind of content that's proliferating right now. A circulating video citing self-reported trading gains of 34 and 58%, funneling 17,000 signups into a webinar with an uncited Morgan Stanley note attached for credibility. No compensation disclosure, no substantiated sourcing. FINRA Rule 2210 and the SEC's marketing rule exist precisely for this pattern, and it's a live reminder that the same information environment producing genuine macro analysis is also producing unverified claims dressed up as institutional research. Fintech thesis update. The through line across today's reporting is that opacity is being built into the system from multiple directions at once, Warsh trimming the Fed's own signal, DTI ceilings quietly absorbing more leverage than the standard was built for, and a currency pair frozen at a threshold that everyone is watching, but no one is moving on. None of these are crises yet. Each one is a rail under pressure. What changes today's outlook is the correlation risk. Private credit gating, consumer credit turning negative, and a stressed FX threshold are no longer separate stories. They're converging into the same earnings week. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.